What I thought I'd do, who was here on the first prayer and vision night? Thank you. Who wasn't? Okay, that's it. So I'll have a very brief review of some of the things, and to remind us all why we're here, and then look at some of the things that are going in place, going to be put in place, give you time to ask questions, make comments, and then we can pray into this stuff, we can intercede, and we can ask God to speak to us too. When we met last time, the research I'd done on churches that grow and sustain growth and weren't simply pack shufflers. I'm just going to ask Steve to put up that reminder to us of the things that were... It's nice, isn't it? It's been causing us trouble. and really one of the basic fundamentals of church growth is the Teletubbies. but we just can't see Dipsy yet. Hello. Yeah, we can't do anything fancy with this at the moment because the computer's playing up. But just a reminder that healthy churches were churches with a good laptop that were concerned with mission, outreach, world mission, mercy mission. They had got priorities of giving. They were intentional about and made priorities of discipleship and leadership development, prayer, small groups, church, listening and intercession, small groups and accountable relationships, servanthood, which included sacrifice and faithfulness and a level of commitment that carried over into every member ministry, with people seeing that they shared the responsibility. Particularly important was men taking spiritual responsibility in the church and in the home, an integrated youth and children's vision, which basically means that the kids are being taught the same stuff as the adults and are doing the same stuff. So if it's a church that believes in healing, the kids are praying for healing too. If it's a church that believes that God speaks today prophetically, then kids can be used prophetically too. Get the idea? Obviously, that needs careful oversight. Does with some grown-ups, too. Moving on. Also, communicating and implementing the vision well. Now, we talked about basically the fundamental commandments that we were going back to, the great commands about loving God and loving our neighbour, the great commission of making disciples. We talked about introducing the kingdom, the signs of the kingdom being that the sick were healed, the dead were raised, people were cleansed who had leprosy, demons were driven out. We were given freely and we receive freely and we're given freely. We talked about following Jesus' model of discipleship, which was relationship-led, which was led by Jesus giving an example which people followed, then did themselves, which was evaluated. So Jesus showed folk how to do it. He did it with them. They did it and he watched, and then they went off and did it on their own. We talked about structures for growth with layers of leadership. We talked about an atmosphere for growth, teaching on body life, every member ministry, the one another's, a safe, loving environment to learn and grow and take risks and step out in faith. We particularly mentioned church is a place where you should be able to make mistakes and not worry about it. And that making a mistake is not failure. And I'll repeat that because we need to keep repeating that. We talked about the vital importance of small groups, and that those small groups should be showing exactly the same values, the same DNA as big church. Relationship-led with God and people, discipleship-led, understanding, obedience, action, mission-led, reaching and looking out, introducing and including, loving and caring. We talked about being spirit-led, looking to be operating in the supernatural beyond words to power. That was basically the things that were seen in churches that grew, which happened to coincide strangely with biblical principles. How did that happen? And then we looked at the Vineyard core values. And they... By the way, I called John Wimber the founder at that point, and he wasn't strictly the founder. Did you know that? Do you know who the founder of Vineyard was? Church history, anyone? Ken Gullickson, yeah. Told you I was more Vineyard than you lot. But Wimber taught on these 10 areas of ministry, which were clear, accurate biblical teaching, contemporary worship in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, an active small group ministry, ministry to the poor, widows, orphans, and those who are broken, physical healing with an emphasis on signs and wonders as seen in the book of Acts, a commitment to missions, church planting at home and work missions abroad, unity within the whole body of Christ, which included a relationship with other local churches, evangelistic outreach, and equipping the saints in areas such as discipleship, ministry, serving, giving, finances, family. We put all of those things together and talked about the fact that it was our desire to maintain and encourage those values that are currently in place and to return to those values that have been lost. Joe and I had... 3 or 4 hours today with Wayne and Sharon, which was a really lovely time, a really good time. And we were talking about their heart's desire and talking about what's happening now. And they are really excited about all that's happening. And it's very much in line with what the desires of their heart are too. So the baton is passed on and we move into the next phase of the life of the church. So we talked last time about various short to mid-term goals. So what I'm going to do is return to those goals and tell you where we've got to so far and some of the things we're putting in place. Then when we get to the end of that, you can ask some questions, make some comments, and then we'll pray into these things. Ask God to supply our needs where there are needs, ask God to give us wisdom and strength. The first was prayer, to establish a regular pattern of prayer, many and varied formats. You'll notice that on Sunday, part of that was rolled out in terms of accountability groups. Today I heard of the first one beginning anew, so I was encouraged by that. Groups that will not just be about people praying together and helping each other, but reaching out as well as they pray for friends who don't know the Lord. We will be encouraging prayer in small groups. We will be encouraging regular meetings like this, where the church will meet together to pray. Over the next few weeks and months, we're going to start on an occasional regular basis having some prayers of intercession on a Sunday morning, a time when actually that's the only time the whole church gets together. and to actually pray about some of the things that are on our heart and share our amens together, because that's really important, corporate prayer. We will be setting up basically prayer in a few home centres. So occasionally we'll be starting to say, well, at this time in the morning, in these houses, there will be a prayer meeting. And we don't want it to be like Harry's, where he turns up. And sometimes a couple more people. We want to actually start when we put these back in place to see folk, maybe just before they go to work, spending half an hour in prayer. We're going to give lots of opportunities so that the only reason that you don't pray is because you don't want to, not because there isn't a time for you or a place for you, so that you have no excuses left other than the fact you don't want to pray. And then if you own up to that, we might get somewhere. Of course, I'm not talking to you because you all love to pray. It's the others who aren't here. Yeah, obviously. I would also like to, eventually, when we've sorted out the and smoothed out the setup process, return to a prayer meeting on a Sunday morning before the service begins, which has happened, I know, for many years, but it's partly got swamped in some of the mechanics and the logistics. So we're going to seek to get back to that, and occasionally even some half nights of prayer, because you'll only watch the telly anyway. So why not pray? Why not turn up and do something exciting, because God will be there? Secondly, small groups. We talked about supporting the existing groups and introducing new groups so that we get to the place where there will be a new group for everyone. I'm slowly talking to the small group leaders, not just those who meet in the home groups in the evenings, but those that meet in the daytime too. We will soon have two more home groups up and running. Stephen Nicola Wheatley Price will be beginning a home group soon. If you're interested in joining that, then have a word with Steve tonight. And Pete and Annie Daddy will be starting a new small group soon too. If anyone here is interested in leading a small group or joining a small group, then you just come and see me and we'll see if we can connect you up. If anyone is part of a small group but doesn't go, it's a really good plan. Let me encourage you to do it. Thirdly, leadership. Identify, develop and support a rolling leadership development, which doesn't mean that we do anything that involves rolling with the leadership. But that's a continued process. We develop new leaders. They take on responsibility. They train other leaders. Because I want us to be a sending church. And as people are equipped, then they will be able to be sent. I want us to be a planting church. And we're beginning that process of identifying and developing a core of leaders. The next thing was outreach and mission initiatives, to introduce them and maintain them. Outreach, we've started just that little, did you see the sneaky guest service came in there? That's part of the outreach program. And that when we have special events like the Christmas Carol service, like certain family services, like certain specials where we might be talking about forgiveness or whatever, then I will be constantly doing that now. There will be particular times that will be appropriate for guests, but I will always have an eye on making sure that people understand the gospel, and always have an eye on challenging people to commitment. I do believe that people who come, if you bring your friends to the regular ongoing teaching of a church that's doing its job properly, they'll be converted. Unless they're really, really, really stubborn. We're talking about introducing a small group emphasis to outreach, so that each of the small groups, as part of their makeup, will be thinking about reaching out. That their prayer will be about reaching out, not just about granny's big toe. That their whole ethos will be about reaching out. We're also looking at the way, as a church, we introduce and include. At the moment, Harry is a fantastic welcomer. and we want to build on that whole welcome thing. I've asked Andrew and Liz to be looking at that, this, and looking at this with other people too. The whole way that we care for people, what that looks like in the break, what that looks like in terms of providing hospitality, how we are inclusive and not exclusive. There are people who, when they come here, as in many churches, find it a little bit difficult because they're not part of an established network. Andrew and Liz are great welcomers themselves in terms of hospitality. So them and some of the stuff that Harry's doing and some of the stuff that Billy's doing, we're going to try and put all of that together and inform the way we do things. Mission, in terms of home, I want to begin, and I believe we are beginning, with re-establishing and strengthening the links with the Andrew Centre. Because even though we've been part of the Andrew Centre in terms of having the office base there, and a few people have been involved there, largely as a church, this mission field, which is close by, is not one that the church has been actively engaged with. Certainly not in recent months, from what I see, from what I observe. It's great to see some of the current initiatives starting to go ahead, the stuff that Dan and Liz are going or whatever, but we want to build on that here. And also, as leaders, we want to develop a process for understanding the whole process of sending and calling and supporting mission. I will be looking to appoint at some stage someone for the church who is responsible for world mission, keeping it on the agenda, keeping it on the prayer agenda, keeping it on the giving agenda. That's outreach and mission initiatives. I was just checking that Andrew and Liz weren't looking too shocked then. You were, yeah. We had talked about that, hadn't we? Yeah. Servanthood and giving. Encouraging a responsible attitude. Well, you've had a few challenges on giving already, haven't you? And we're looking at ways, some of the stuff that Noel's done in terms of those envelopes, etc., are all about helping to make giving easier. We're also wanting people to have an attitude to giving of themselves and servanthood. And so we're going to start to be more proactive in asking people to take on jobs and to take on responsibilities and expecting them to say yes. Very often in the life of a church, leaders end up going around trying to think of removing all of the possible excuses that people can give. And if they can possibly do that, then they might say yes. But from my perspective, both as being a leader and before I was a leader, if someone asks me to do something to serve God and they have a spiritual oversight over me, unless it is something that is so patently against God's leading or destructive, then it's a privilege. It's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege when someone actually sees a gift in you and wants you to use it. And I want people to be more excited about serving God and see it less as a drudge and more as a joy. Teaching. We spoke of developing a program, Sundays and small groups, to grow disciples. And that's basically the aim of my current teaching program, is to lay those foundations and to produce disciples. And I have to say, I have been immensely encouraged by the responses, to see folk engaging with God, sorting stuff out, moving on and moving forward. And I just love that. It just makes everything worthwhile. When small group leaders are in place, want to be looking to provide some training and input and resources to help the groups develop disciples more effectively too. I'm just going to pause for a moment because that's a lot of words and it's quite warm tonight. Vision. To facilitate and encourage existing and new vision within the church. Now, that is part led by the leadership team as we listen to God. and as we follow on. But it will be part driven by the passion and the vision that God has laid on and in the hearts of individuals. So part of the vision, part of the direction of the church will come from what God is doing in you and how that connects. And I wanted to ask you a question this evening. Has God given you a passion for something? We're talking kingdom here. He may have passion for other things. I don't care about those. Don't really want to know about those. It's the kingdom stuff. Has God given you a passion, a vision for something? And when I say that, that means something that you will be involved in with passion and commitment. Lots of people, thank you, lots of people have passion and vision for other people to do things. Lots of people have lots of ideas about what the church should be doing, which doesn't involve them doing anything, and they think their job has been done. Again, doesn't work. Have you got a passion for a group of people, for something that the church could be doing, should be doing? Do you have a vision for it? Share it with us. It may be that God's using you to help shape the future direction of this church. And we can pray and will and way. At Meadows, Steve was part of this process. Part of what we did in terms of engaging with our community was putting the passions and vision and gifts of the church members together with the needs in the community. And where those two things fitted, we were able to help. Now, there are many, many, many needs in the community, and some of them we're rubbish at. So it's probably best not to start with those. And there are quite a few things that we're good at, but they don't need it. So it's probably not a good idea to be doing those. But if we can put the two together, the needs that are there, with the passion and vision that we have, then exciting things can happen. In terms of youth, we are looking to employ a part-time youth pastor. Ads have been placed with the four main colleges. There's been contact with the deans of students, contact with all of the local pastors on the network and all of the Victorian Vineyard pastors. As yet, there's only been one response which wasn't appropriate, and it may be because there are only 2 days being offered, and for someone to come a long distance to be out of their own church environment and just be working for 2 days, that seems to be one of the issues. So we maybe need to consider that. We're prepared to look further afield, but continue to ask God to provide the right person, because that's a crucial job. In the meantime, Joe and Justin and Rowan are developing a program for Sunday mornings, and we're encouraged with the way that's going. Process: to develop a church operations role to help make things work and make things happen. Steve Wheatley Price, who some of you know and some of you don't, I've known him for about 15 years. Is that about right? When he first came as a shiny new student, when we were at Knighton, which began the church plant of Meadows. And some of you may know that them being here and us being here has got quite a few connections. In the sense that it was Steve and Nicola who first had that sense that we were to be here, which was confirmed over here. But that also Steve and Nicola believe that part of their calling here is to support and work with us and to support and work with Vineyard. Those two things obviously connected. And Steve is going to be giving us 2 days a week from Feb, growing into that over the next few months, with a view to taking on some of that role, that church operations role. This is something that we as an eldership are committed to as a process. Steve was an elder at Meadows, and he took on the church operations role while Richard Croker, who was the church op guy there, was away, kind of learnt the ropes there. I've known him, for 15 years, and though perhaps he's new to the church, he's someone who I respect greatly and trust totally. And so I'm very happy for that to happen. So he's going to be giving his time to that end as we as a leadership and as a church test and confirm that call. Now, what is church operations? It is not primarily administration. It's not a secretarial thing. It's about making things work and making things happen. It's about working alongside myself and the leadership to help develop and implement processes and structures and strategies to help fulfill the vision effectively. Those kind of structures and strategies and programs, they're like the rockets which fire the vision and the principles by and the values by which we're living. Those structures in themselves are flexible. Their importance is helping us to achieve the vision that God's given us. Now, Andrew has done a lot of work along these lines since Wayne's not been around, but with the responsibilities of his job and the responsibilities of eldership, it's just too much. And Liz has also done a tremendous amount and been very helpful with all of the kind of admin backup. But we need someone to be able to grab hold of these things. Now, I can do them, but I don't do them particularly well. Now, that's not fair. I do them well, but inefficiently. I do them well, but it takes me a long time to do them. And it bores the socks off me as well. And what I want to be doing is growing and developing leaders and providing vision and direction for the church. And if Steve is able to take this role on, then that releases me to do just that. What's happening in the short term is that the office base will move out from the Andrew Centre, in fact has moved out from the Andrew Centre, and will move to Steve and Nicholas, which is in fact Jeff and Lynn Oliver's, just to confuse matters even further. So we'll be set up in those of you who've been to Jeff's office in the downstairs bit, at Jeff and Lynn's place. The reasons for moving out of here are several-fold, partly because the throughput here was getting very little, I think it's fair to say, isn't it, Liz? Liz was in there. We're getting something like 3 phone calls a week. Emails now can be directed straight through to me or to Andrew and Liz or to whoever needs them. Phone calls likewise. The only thing that was happening was kind of some routine admin and Mel coming in and sorting out the songs on a Friday. But obviously there were ongoing weekly costs of hiring the place here and a phone line and broadband and all of that stuff. Plus, Judy often runs out of rooms and we were tying up rooms that we weren't really using properly. And so to have those rooms available is very helpful. Plus, if we move out of here, people won't automatically assume that we are engaged in helping the Andrew Centre. And then I can revisit it once more and say, look, let's get involved here, without people presuming that we are. So the connection continues. In fact, I was in, was it this week? Last week, wasn't it? Sharing with a group here, and I will want to be engaged whenever I can and whenever it's helpful, but not to be here as my base, because it's much simpler actually to see people and pray with people and sort out admin from a home base. So that works very well. I'll just do the very next bit and then we can ask questions. In terms of structure, develop a structure that will enable us to fulfill our calling more effectively, bearing in mind that people are more important than programs. I've been finding out over the last few months who does what and who doesn't, who wants to do what and who doesn't, where the gaps are, where things are good, where things are not so good, where things aren't joined up. And basically over the next couple of months, when I've been told it gets a little bit quieter as you're all partying and barbecuing and surfing and doing all the stuff you do, actually we'll begin to put a lot of things in place when it comes to people in responsibilities, when it comes to just that first phase of laying a structural foundation that will keep it simple and help us to do it well. So we're not expecting that really to come into being probably until around about February, when people are re-engaged, and then we'll be able to do it then. And also, I don't want to do things fast, I want to do things right. I'd rather take a bit longer over a decision and make a good decision that will last us for 10 years than rush into something. For example, we're looking at a pastoral network to pick up those who are not engaged in the small groups and to draw them in. We want to be looking at how we can train people to care well, so care is spread. We've got to put together the wisdom of Andrew and Liz and of Billy, who's done a lot of the setup stuff, and of Steve, and spend time joining everything up so that the lines of communication are good, so the lines of responsibility are good. And though that all sounds really all about structure, it's not. It's all about people. It's all about trying to do the job of making disciples and supporting and releasing and enabling more effective. I want to tell you what some of our needs are that we're going to be knocking on doors about soon. We need some more small group leaders. We need some people who are not currently engaged in membership to sign up. We need some more people to be on the setup team and the pack-up team. We need some people to lead the setup teams. By the time we get to Feb, I do not want Noel and I do not want Andrew leading any more setup teams. It is not appropriate for Andrew and Noel to be doing that. Not because they are lazy or because they don't want to serve, but because they are supposed to be able to exercise their spiritual ministry of leadership and to be praying for people and ministering to them. And they can't do that when they're doing that. I do not want Judy to be on the laptop anymore by the time we come into the new year, because it's an unfair thing for her to be doing when she is wanting to be meeting and praying with people. So I would like four people to volunteer for doing the laptop once a month. We have a new program. It's idiot proof. So you can have training on it. It's not proof to me, but it's idiot proof. We need some more folk involved with tech support. We need some folk to, and we've already got some, but we need just some folk who'll be prepared to be part of the pastoral network to say, yeah, here's some issues that actually I feel I can help people with. We need folk to, on a regular basis, I've set aside 3 or 4 extra meals on a Sunday, so that if folk come from another church or they've never been to church, every Sunday we can say, there's a place for you to go. We need some more helpers for the Sunday school. We need some, eventually, just a little bit of secretarial backup. Not very time consuming, but a little bit of backup. So we're praying and looking for volunteers who are committed and regular and reliable so that we can share the load evenly and no one has to carry a great load. It sounds like we're looking for loads of volunteers so the workload is going to get worse and worse and worse, but we're looking for it so the workload is even and not too great for anyone. We're looking for God's initiatives that people feel called to, maybe are involved in already, where gifts and calling and passion and vision come together and where God is at work, and then we can join in with what he's doing. And that's a great place to be. So if you can be praying for those volunteers, you can be praying for wisdom for the leadership, you can be praying especially for a youth worker, greatly needed there. You can be praying that God will be healing and growing and changing hearts and equipping us to be the battleship he wants us to be. Off you go. Do your thing. and I'll call you back for the end. Okay, folks, we come to a close because I know folk need to get home and there's work in the morning and whatever. But I just, before we go, two reminders. One is a reminder that if you volunteered for Sunday, please be there at 7:30, and then Bill won't turn up at 6. The other is, it was just something that happened this week that was a reminder to me in the middle of all of the busyness. I met with a guy called Jeff Dunn. I don't know whether you know him, but he's the secretary of the chaplaincy at Berwick Secondary School. So the guy who's been seeking to develop that ministry, Peter Whitfield, is there. So there's a Christian chaplain who actually is part of Lilydale Fellowship permanently at the school. He's a God Squad boy named Bubba. Yeah, you've seen him. He'll probably come again next year as well. But Pete wanted to just catch up, and Jeff wanted to know what the story was of the call here. And so just telling it again was lovely, because you kind of forget sometimes. And his eyes were shining. And at the end of it, he goes, you know, God's going to do really big things at the Vineyard. I'm so excited about what God's going to do at the Vineyard. He said, because otherwise, what's the point of bringing you across? What's the point of God doing that just for this to kind of fizzle? And though I knew that, his excitement was a reminder. And that's what God told us, that not only are we going to experience blessing, but that this church will. And kind of part of this getting everyone to engage is not that kind of rah, 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 come on, let's just get, you know. It's actually me saying, I believe with all my heart that God is going to do big things. And I don't want you to miss out. I don't want a single one of you not to be part of that. To kind of have been on the periphery and say, you know that great thing that happened back in the 2000s? I wish we hadn't missed out. So I look forward to continuing in the journey with you, and just sharing the testimony again reminded me that God's at work in big ways. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know I want to be part of it. So it's been great to have you around. It's been great just to we had a fab time praying together. I'm sure you did too. Hope you did too. And let's just close together. Lord, you know that the last thing I want is to see people carried along on a wave of human enthusiasm. Because, Lord, I've seen that before. It's a waste of time. Lord, I want to see us carried along on a wave of the Spirit. I want to see us carried along because we are walking in step with the Spirit, because we've found out what your vision and direction is, that we're following it, Lord. I want to see us part of the kingdom solution. Lord, every week we see more and more families coming into this region. Families who are lost. Families who often have empty, needy lives. And Lord, we have got the answer, because it's you. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just guide us and keep us. And we trust you for the big things you're going to do. And pray, Lord, that you help us to keep on walking in step. And when we're afraid, to trust. And when we've fallen, to stand up again. And when we've been rebellious, to come back again. I ask tonight, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus, that every person here and representing the whole church, that we will know your hand on us. We will know your presence and power with us. We will know your protection over us. And that we will move out like a great army. Mm-hmm. Knowing that we do so in the strong name of Jesus. Knowing that we do so in the power of the Spirit. Knowing that we do so with our hand in your hand. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.